We're at Hofskoda with Philip Trechka, who is the manager of the establishment. How are you doing, Philip?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Good. So Hofskoda opened up about a year ago, right?
Well, it's actually a year and a half ago, May 23rd last year.
And you're on 73rd Street between 1st and 2nd Ave, and you're right in the same building as the Czech consulate.
The name of the building is Bohemian National Hall. This building was built 120 years ago by Czech and Slovak immigrants to kind of keep some of the culture and have some spot where to meet and listen to music and have peace of home in New York, in America. And so far right now there's a general consulate in this building, a couple of other companies, plus Hofskoda in the first floor, in the main level.
Hofskoda, that translates into English as pub?
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
What's the concept, the mission of Hofskoda?
The mission of Hofskoda is to really show that beside the great beer, which America is full of right now, there's actually more types and more styles of beer than in our country. But what we kind of like missing here is the beer care, and that's what we are actually focused on. When it comes to cuisine, we came here to really offer Czech and like a Central European cuisine. Right now we have an American chef, Katie Bush. She's trying to, beside some of the Central European and Czech plates, also add some of the plates which will be appreciated here. So we have some fish, some scallops, some salads, things which actually people are requesting. It's seasonally changed, so we try to follow the season. We do change the menu, let's say, 4 to 6 times a year. And we are closely cooperating with some like local farmers.
The real story of Hofskoda, though, is the beer, isn't it?
You guys
only have one beer on tap, and that is Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah. So right now we have Pilsner Urquell still as a flagship since day one. We always had Pilsner Urquell.
So Pilsner Urquell, also known as, is it Pilsen Prazdroj?
Pilsenski Prazdroj, that's the
Pilsenski Prazdroj, yeah. Which means the original Pilsner.
Yeah.
And it is the original Pilsner. If my history is correct, in the 1840s, the people of Pilsen were not happy with the beer.
Exactly.
As we know from beer history, at that point, beer was dark, murky, sometimes not in good condition. And the citizens dumped something like 30 kegs of beer in protest.
Exactly.
In the city center. And so the city elders, the burghers got together. They hired a Bavarian brewer named Joseph Grohl, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
So Grohl came over. He came up with an entirely new recipe, something that had never been done before. And he created a crystal clear, sparkling, effervescent lager.
Coincided at the same time with advancements in kilning and malting techniques, so you were able to produce the lighter grains, and also glassware. For a long time,
yeah.
The glasses weren't clear, so you know, you really weren't, if it was cloudy and murky.
You weren't aware.
Well, you were aware, but it wasn't as obvious, and the clear glassware, which became much more affordable.
As I see, you know, the historic.
So in 1842, that's when the beer was released, and it became a worldwide sensation. And most of the beers that are consumed today, if they're not Pilsner beers, there's some variation of Pilsner beers.
Yeah, like a Pilsner style. Almost every single brewery have at least one Pilsner style beer in the portfolio. So we call Pilsner Urquell like a mother of all Pilsner style beer. And also Pilsner style beer, it's really home in the Czech Republic. That's so far the most common and most typical Czech beer. So
once Pilsner Urquell started brewing, everybody started copying it.
I wouldn't say copying, but yeah, produce
similar,
basically similar type of beer, because the beer is just great.
It is great. In fact, everybody knows that Pilsner beer is the inspiration for Budweiser.
One thing is very unique here is that you pour the same beer, but in three different ways.
We do actually four.
Four.
You're right. That's something what is pretty common in our country. We have a special kind of tap with three screens inside, which really are able to create creamy and silky foam, and we're kind of playing with that. So our four different styles are sweet, which is all foam beer, so you basically get full mug of foam, but the foam, once you drink it pretty quickly, and at the same time you got a mug, it's really creamy, smooth, silky, drinkable, and a little sweet. Then the slice. Slice is something what usually the brewmasters and the draftmasters had like a taste. So it's about, let's say, inch of beer on the bottom, and then rest is the foam in the mug. That's so far my favorite one. Not just because the level and the amount of bitterness which comes from the beer itself, from the liquid, and the sweetness which comes from the foam are perfectly balanced, but I also like the texture change. So once you had a nice sip of the foam first, it's a little warmer, a little more sweet, and once the lips hit the beer itself, it's colder, it's liquidy, it's a little more bitter and like a crispy. It's just a beautiful experience. And then we've got Crème Raclette, which is like the traditional way how we draft beer in our country.
It's a hladinka.
Hladinka, exactly. That's a full mug of beer with about inch to inch and a half of, again, creamy and velvety foam. Then we have a fourth one, which is not really well known in our country. You don't serve that in Czech Republic, but that's something we create for like an American market. We call it neat, so that's beer with no foam. That's kind of like a traditional way how you guys serve beer in all United States, but at least in Bolivia in New York. So, and people order that. Some people prefer that style. It's a much higher content of CO2, so it's razor sharp and like a crispy again, and it's more bitter. The funny thing is that the different pours, they don't change only how the beer looks, but also the taste. The final taste, when it comes to difference between sweet and neat, which are on the both sides, it's really obvious that there's like more bitterness in the neat and more sweetness in the sweet. So
it's almost like you have four different draft beers originating from the one beer.
From one keg, yeah. So this is small hladinka, which is a really traditional pour. Basically, if you ask for beer in every single pub in Prague or in Czech Republic, you get this. So. Cheers.
Is it Nazdravi?
Nazdravi, that's what it is.
Now this is distinctly a different flavor, a different experience than what I recall at other pubs, like even the Bohemian Hall out in Astoria. Their Pilsner doesn't taste like this. This is definitely got a freshness to it and a vibrancy. The only thing that comes close is when I've had Pilsner in Europe. This is a lot more floral, crisper, fresher. A lot more flavor.
You get that nice traditional bread-like malt flavor in the middle and real good crispness from the hops.
Yeah, it's clean, it's bright, it's obviously in superb condition. Now, there's a reason for that. You'd mentioned, Philip, last time we met. The Pilsner Urquell is not being brought in the same way it was in the past. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. We did a little like a research before we even opened our Hospoda, just to see how Pilsner Urquell is treated in New York, and so we taste the beer around here in, let's say, 10 different places. It ended up with a huge, but really huge disappointment. If the beer wasn't really spoiled, it was definitely not fresh and not handled the right way. We can say that because we have right now operating 12 different restaurants in Prague, and two of them are really focused on beer, and so we know how the beer, how Pilsner Urquell should taste. That brought us to the thing that we contacted the importers. We had a meeting with Chad Valtskov from Tent & Blake, and We said, listen, once we would like to open a restaurant and promote the perfect Pilsner Kell and really serve the fresh as possible beer, there must be some things which have to be changed. That's how the beer is shipped to America, and also the expiration date, which is usually 6 months on Pilsner Kell. We just request that our beer, which we will get from the local distributors, will never be older than 6 weeks to maximum 2 months. So that will give us chance to work with the beer like same way like we do in Czech Republic, and be sure that we will serve the right product. This happened. It wasn't even really easy, because that was also dialogue between Tenblick and Pilsner Brewery. But in the end, we have a great beer. We have a really good relationship with the distributor, so we always get the information when the new beer is shipped. So what happened? They start to ship the beer in the refrigerated containers, because beer, especially Pilsner Kell, but every single beer, does not really like the temperature jump. So it's in the stable temperature from the brewery to the warehouse in Brooklyn. Then the freshness itself, we really checking the delivery. So usually we have a beer which is not older than 6 weeks to 2 months. Also, we had a chance to visit the warehouse of Beehive in Brooklyn, and I can honestly say that they are taking perfect care. They have a special walk-in, or let's say drive-in, kind of huge walk-in, and there's only Pilsner Kell stored in a perfect temperature. So we feel this is a huge success, not just for Hospoda, but for all New Yorkers, which can really have to serve the same fresh beer. And then the only thing is what is going on with the beer in the bar or in the restaurant, and it's, of course that's the second half. We have what we are saying in Czech Republic is that the brewmaster brew the beer, but the draftmaster or the bartender makes the beer, because everything could be destroyed in the second half when the beer actually gets to the bar.
Right,
and that's the other part. With couple of steps we have to be really followed to serve perfect pint like this.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't make sense if you spend all that time and money and care to deliver a perfect keg and then they leave it in a hot kitchen for a day.
Exactly. So what do we do once we get the beer? We have the refrigerated cellar underneath the bar. The temperature there is between 40 and 44 degrees. So all our beer is, again, stored in the refrigerated space. And even the bar, as you see the transparent bar over there, even the bar is refrigerated. So again, 42 to 44 degrees. Means the beer is always kept in the same kind of same temperature, which the beer just loves that.
And how many kegs per week do you go through?
10 to 20, yeah, it depends. Now we are more busy, so we do like, yeah, up to 20.
It must be a nice experience for people who come to the cultural events at the National Hall to be able to come down and get
exactly
about as good of a Pilsner as you can possibly find outside of Pilsen and Prague.
Yes, we have Czech friends who love to come here for
yes.
the beer.
What you're saying is the Pilsner Kell elsewhere is going to be in better condition now that they have this new program.
They have the same chance to serve the same beer like we do, because they have actually the same product. When it comes to the care inside the restaurant, the bartender's care, the glass, where the care of the glass, where that's of course another step. We are trying to be perfect in it and really take care of it, but it's in the bartender's hands.
This is probably going to be the best place you're going to have a Pilsner Kell in the United States, though.
Yes, I think so.
I just wanted to say one thing. You see the rings on the mm-hmm. on your mugs?
Yeah.
That's a proof of perfectly clean glass.
Yes.
So what we do, we wash every single mug piece by the hand, and then we rinse that, and all beer mugs are stored in like a water pool, which is also chilled water filtered running chilled water. So that makes the mug actually pre-chilled, so it holds the temperature of the beer.
Philip, thanks for talking to us, explaining the process and how the beer is handled, and thanks for sharing some beer with us.
Yeah, thank you too. I hope you had fun.